Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. We got Scott Bedstein and Ariel Perez from the Green Bay Press Gazette. Well, fellas, I know you guys get bombarded with this everywhere you go, but we got to do it too. NFL draft, take it from there.
It's going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Thanks for coming in.
Everybody's ready.
Yep. And are we allowed to talk?
Absolutely. 100%.
So I learned over the break that the mayor is going to rent out his house.
Yes.
We are okay about.
Absolutely. Okay.
And it is something that I would want to do too. But as he was telling us, there's a lot of things you have to do. You can't just be like, "Hey, put this on."
Yeah.
You know, the internet. And so I don't think I'll be interested.
No, we'll talk about that. There's a company that actually they advertise with us, Simple Life Hospitality out of Madison. And he's got some, you know, Airbnbs throughout the year, right? Door County, some in Green Bay, Madison. He actually goes up to, I think, Mequon. But he's focusing on this NFL draft. And he has a house that he owns over by Lambeau. He's having an open house the 27th, coming up this month. And you know, I got to tell you, Scott, I don't think you should be afraid of that because it's a turnkey. Now, you got to pay a commission. So you have to get comfortable with, wait a minute, you're going to make that much? I'm like, okay. Like, I don't care if people make money as long as I make more, you know?
Right.
But he does the background checks. It comes in, takes all the photos. It does inspect all the fees because you could get in some trouble with that. If you don't, how would you like to rent your house out and have the inspector come over the day before the draft and say, this ain't being rented? Right. So, and there's taxes you got to pay and fees, but I don't know. I just think if there's somebody that wants to get away, go see their kids or something for a week, and that's the week they're not that into the NFL draft, why not make an extra $5,000, $10,000, $15,000?
What would happen if you didn't do any of that and you did do it underground and you got somebody to cut you $10,000 in cash to stay at your house? You could get away with that. Wouldn't be appropriate.
Why couldn't you? I mean, how would you get busted?
Well, you're right. You would have to be, like any violation, you'd have to be ratted out. I mean, they're not going to go knocking on doors. And I mean, but I'm just saying that
they're not putting me in cuffs for that, though, right?
Maybe a fine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if the fine's lower.
That's a good question.
That's a really good question, actually. Yeah. You mean because of the tax implication or what?
You mean after
or
the
just
fact?
In general?
Are you talking about after or before?
Before. So right now.
Before that, it's not having the revenue. You will be sued by that guy saying, look, you told me I could live here. What's he going to do?
Okay, let's say because this is the kind of thing that I would do where I wouldn't follow any rules whatsoever.
Right.
Okay, I would say, you know what? I'm going to rent out my house, but I'm going to make it real low key.
Right.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
I know a guy who knows a guy. Yep. They show up, write out a check for 10 grand.
Yep.
Enjoy, here's the keys.
Right.
Is that illegal?
Yes.
Why?
Because you don't have the inspection, which you need.
So
you
is
have
that a
to
city
have the
ordinance?
License. It's a city. Yeah, okay. I think the guy who's inspecting our house. You need a license because it's a different, really, if you think about it, it's a different zoning. You're living in a residential neighborhood and now you're turning it into a rental or hotel and an Airbnb. I just think that after the fact, that's a good question. What happens after? Is it worth it? Like people at the airport, they always parked in handicap because it was cheaper to park in handicap and get the $100 ticket than if you're gone a week or so, which is, you know, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But that will be interesting to see because if you make your 10 grand, you get a $1,000 fine. Who cares?
Exactly. Like you said, you're okay with people making money just as long as you make more. And in that situation, the city or whatever would make $1,000, I'd make another.
However, if you get ratted out before and they say, look, if they shut down and you lose that revenue stream, it's too risky. I mean, I would just do the turnkey thing and this guy's going to do it all. And we're going away.
You try it that way. I'll try it this way. And then we'll talk after.
Ariel, can I ask you a question? Yeah. Do you have anything to do with headlines at the Press Gazette?
With my headlines?
With any headlines? Do you have a say?
Doesn't the editor
do that? I'm just saying this. If he gets busted, can I help with the headline? Todd, can we do a quick poll right now?
Scott,
folks, we're going to hand out a prize package for the best text of what the headline should be if Jim gets busted for renting out his house illegally.
John,
please give us the best. We're going to give a major prize package.
It's a Scott Vinci house. Yeah. It's not my house.
That's
my other house.
I'm going to look into that, Scott. It's going to be interesting after the fact, I think, is people might say, you know what? I'm going to roll the dice.
And you know what, though? That fine might be a lot more than we're thinking, too.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
well, if it's $500 just for an inspection.
If they heard this program, they're going to.
Right now. Honestly, I wouldn't even have known you have to do all that. I would have just thought, if I want to rent out my house, I have the right to rent out my house.
That's how I would feel.
Yeah. I wouldn't even have known.
Yeah, big property rights
but
guy.
I think being ignorant of the law is not.
Excuse. Oh, no.
Right.
No, the judge has said that many, many times.
Yeah.
Got the first possible headline. Integrity matters.
Anyway, tell us about the NFL draft. Like, how you must be leaning in on this, Ariel, from just.
Are you a little bit tired of it already?
Well, no.
Not tired, but a little bit.
Not
like,
the sports side, but.
No, yeah. Well, you know, they had a meeting, I think it was last week, wasn't it? On the city.
You went to it,
yeah. The city, I thought he would.
I think you know more than me about that meeting.
Actually, but I was going to tell Scott they had a meeting on the rental thing, and almost 200 people showed up for that. Really? So I think people do know. Wait, it's not that easy because the rumor out there is it could be bad.
Yeah,
and I'm interested in what you're hearing from the non-sports. You know, the farmers market and anything you can share with us.
Well, you know, what I know so far is like you know they're waiting on. What the plan is going to be for the different villages, what they're going to do. I know that many businesses are thinking about short time hiring for that week.
I think that's awesome.
I maybe even, you know, a little higher rate for that week to pay for employees because there's going to be a lot of competition. I mean, if you're a restaurant owner, hiring is going to be very difficult for that week because everybody's going to be hiring too. So you got to be competitive.
But I want to make sure that's easy for someone to do because Johnny and I were at a golf outing and one of the ladies who was golfing with us was a teacher and they're going to be closed and she used to be a waitress.
Yeah.
And she goes, I'd love to find a job. I'm like, look, I'll find you a job for 10%. Yeah. But everybody's going to be hiring just even if they don't extend their hours, just staffing alone. So,
yeah.
But I just hope there's a website they can go to that lists everything. And you're right. It's going to be very competitive. $18, $19. I mean, people are going to go for the money on that.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, I would, to that teacher, I would recommend, you know, find a place where she wants to work and then go on Facebook or something and look because they're probably going to advertise there. Every business is going to do that on social media. So,
and I think it's pretty cool. Some of the businesses that are already doing, like adding a deck and something in anticipation. I mean, you can't, you know, build a church for Easter Sunday. But on the other hand, if you can use that, if you're, we're thinking of adding a deck on, add it now, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, make a little cash.
Yeah. And you can use that in the future.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You see any pitfalls for Green Bay, Ariel, in the time that you've been here and dealt with politics or businesses and everything like that? Do you see any big kind of scary thing that's out there that they're going to really have to consider?
You mean for the draft?
The actual draft week, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there's always the complaint in that Schwaben with the parking.
Yeah.
But there's so much parking everywhere. I mean, I don't see. I mean, the high traffic is going to be something to be, you know, pay attention to.
Right.
I don't. You know, I don't see like huge problems.
No red flags.
No, okay. I mean this is a very, very quiet town. It's not dangerous. And so there always when you have a lot of influx, like a big influx of people, it gets a little bit dangerous. You know, the smart guys come from other places too.
I got a feeling the NFL they really take charge of the city almost, don't they?
They do
when they come in.
But and security's up.
Well, the security's going to be fine. They got cops coming in from everywhere. And, But my concern would be the traffic because you know, I live here, as everybody here does. But, you know, 80,000 people at a Packer game, and you can still feel it. And this is going to be, you know, four or five times that. So,
traffic and parking would be a problem.
Well, that's the only thing I'm worried
about. Schools?
Yeah.
That is legit.
It's legit. Okay. But that's why they're starting next week.
Okay.
Because we always start after Labor Day. We're starting before Labor Day because of the NFL draft. And, Rach, you'd rather start early than go into June.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
Anyway,
the jobs interest me. My only concern is the parking and the traffic flow. And I hope they just use shuttle services. And like you said, Scott, if you use UWGB, if the VA clinic is know, those are huge sea of parking and get people there.
Best sea shuttle service.
I'm willing to do that. That would be my side hustle.
Yeah, right. There you go.
I've thought about Uber too, you know.
Absolutely. And that's so easy to do.
Well, Jim's daughter who was in here, she said, you know, you got the direct flight now from Appleton to Newark. She said, but it would be $120 to take an Uber from there to her apartment. It's like $120. Yeah. That's as much as the actual plane ticket, isn't it?
Actually, it's more.
Wow.
However, she's frugal, and she will take the train and just go to Penn Station. Then she can walk home. So yeah. Anyway, I just think that we really have to get our arms around the flow of people, you know, and not who cares about who's being drafted. Just somebody needs to really study that. And I think they are. And I think that's going to be the biggest issue. I do think, you know, I let's say I own some land over by Lambeau Field, and you know, and I have people park there for $35 a game, and now the NFL draft is coming. Do you feel loyalty to honor that price with the same person? Because I don't. And I was talking to.
I'm shocked that you don't. Wow, you're such a loving person.
No, Johnny, really though. And I was talking to the guy, and I'm like. He goes, no.
Bring out the Italian. Come on.
Anyway, I don't know. I mean, do you think these hotels really going to hold their Packer game pricing?
No. But I mean, somebody had mentioned $50 a day. That's got to be well over 100 a day to park, don't you think?
Well, a lot more.
I mean, and can they do it in these parking lot or in these driveways the way we do it for games?
I'm sure they are going to allow that.
I don't think they're going to allow it.
I mean, I think it would be a good idea to let the people park on the driveways. Oh, but right. But, you know, I don't know.
I just one more thing on parking. But you remember Governor Doyle said, yeah, we're going to start charging. And there are people that they put their kids through college with Packer parking.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money. But they are no way they're going to throttle back on parking. As a matter of fact, the city needs more parking. So I think they're the more the better. I think it's got to be safe and legal. But you can't park on sidewalks. But they're going to let you park on lawns. Which isn't legal during the year, right? Only on that game.
You had some kind of a scam to put your kids through college, didn't you, at one time? What was it? No?
Money. I sold my business. That's what I did. No scam. It was money.
Am I the only one that's listening to the parking and all this stuff going on and all the expenses and going, I'm just going to watch it at home? Like, there's got to be other people like that, right?
I think there's a lot of them.
In other words, Scott saying, move on.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys can move on, whoever you want. I have to leave. I have to go over to Channel 5, co-host their Local 5 Live with Lisa Malik. This segment's been brought to you by Pella Doors and Windows of Wisconsin. Whoever stays at your house is going to love your doors and windows.
It's all Pella. And it is. It's just, and I live in a historic neighborhood. We just had the historic walk, 40 homes, and it's great to show off your home with a nice door, windows. We love Pella. So, all right, you guys stick around. Can you stick around,
you guys
please?
Stick around?
All right,
yeah, sure. Awesome.
All right, bye. Talk to you, John.
Right after this. Thinking about last night. She was dark and discreet. They were full of surprise.
All right, welcome back. All right, we've got the trio here now. Johnny had to leave to go. He loves TV. There's just not enough FaceTime on radio for him. But we're here with two of the Press Gazette guys. I want to ask you guys a couple of questions about the city. Scott, you've been here, well, since high school, right?
I was born here. Raised here.
Oh, really? So this is your home. Yep. And Ariel, you've been here for 2 years.
No, four.
4 years, and you hail from?
Dominican Republic.
Okay, so... Green Bay, you know, last year, maybe the year before, was named the number one place to live in the United States, which that's an incredible honor. I mean, I tried for that and we got top 10 stuff, but to be picked as the number one, and a lot of it had to do with housing cost. Your money goes pretty far here. I mean, you can make X here and goes a little further than maybe, you know, Milwaukee or Minneapolis.
Cost of living is cheap.
Right. And that weighed heavy, but there's a lot of other things that went into it. But, like, Scott, we asked you a little bit why you stayed, but it's got to be more than the fact that you don't fly.
No, it really, I mean,
That hurt.
You know what I did before this job? Yeah, anyway, yeah.
I just like my job, and it is my hometown, so I'm comfortable here, and as I think you've learned, comfort is a big thing for me.
Yeah.
And I just did not feel the need to move anywhere else. Now I went to college in Chicago, so it's not like I haven't been out of here, but and it's not that I wouldn't move. If you put my job that I'm doing right now in another city, I could do that. It's not like I'm you know, but I like it here and I like what I'm doing. So
there
you go. Yeah. No. So when I moved here, I came here in 2019 first and I spent 14 days, I think it was. Yeah. And we went to Madison, came back to Green Bay and, you know, I've been in a city all my life since I was born in Cuba. It was a big city. I moved to Santo Domingo. Everything outside Santo Domingo is not a city. it's like towns, really small towns, similar to Green Bay, but, you know, way, way different. But I always lived in the city. When I came here and I just walked through the neighborhood, sit down and listen to the birds and all that, I was like, okay, this is a nice place. I came to the city and I didn't see the, you know, the high traffic, the noise, anything with that, like that. And I was like, okay, this is actually a nice place. The cold was a little bit shocking for me because I've been in a humid, really hot place all my life. But then when I said, well, I think it's a good place to live. And then when we decided to move, my wife and I, and, you know, I started working, it's great. I mean, I now have a kid, so it's even better for him to grow up in a place with so much nature around, with low crime, with low cost of living, with so many things to see. Because, you know, everybody think about Green Bay, but then you have Door County right there, and it's beautiful up there. You got, you know, you have a house in Eckhart Lake. Maybe you can invite me one day because I love that. We stayed at the hotel or the Ostaf.
That's where my place is.
And it was beautiful. And I really enjoyed it. So you have so much.
You can buy a place there. And then when you're not there, they rent it out.
Yeah, it could be a good plan.
That works for me. Hey, I want to talk to you guys about, you guys both work for the Press Gazette. You've very strong in your own fields. How do you decide what sports and what's a human interest story? And what comes to mind about that is this, the gymnast,
Simone Biles.
Simone Biles. She wore a Packer jacket to the Bears training. And is that sports? Is that you? Who would decide that?
That's neither.
That's
what?
It's more entertainment.
Yeah.
Or somebody sitting at their computer and doing a quick, you know, 200 words on some hot topic. It's totally.
But you covered that.
Well,
your paper, didn't it?
But we have we have Kendra Maynard.
So she's been here. So if that's entertainment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who calls that though? Because I can see somebody saying, "Dude, you don't even." It doesn't sound like you guys wanted to do that story.
Well, it wouldn't even be on either of our radars. I think.
Really?
I think we just all kind of know now. If there's a gray area, our big boss Pete Frank would email all of us or message us and have that conversation. But I think we just know in a situation like that, oh, that's Kendra.
Yeah. And sometimes I get an email from somebody and I'm like, I read what they're saying. And I'm like, this is more on Kendra's side. Yeah. So I forward it to her. Hey, maybe you want to do this, something with this or something.
Because the reason I ask too is I think sports is, first of all, it's almost all year that football or some of these sports and people are interested in, like that guy we had on from Bayport. I mean, he's a good football player, but he's just an awesome human being.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know if that's your story, you know what I mean? Because there's got to be some gray areas. Because I think that people are interested in more than just, you know, no disrespect to you, but they're more interested than just the game.
And if it would be somebody like Alec Ingold,
right,
let's say, and he's speaking at a school or promoting a book, that's something I could do because then we would also talk about his career and how things are going in Miami and kind of combine all of that. So that would probably be more of my story because it's a sports guy from our area, but it's not like Kendra couldn't do that. But that's something that she'd probably email to me, like, you know, Ariel did to her. I think it's just something you kind of know.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain, but I think we all just kind of know what would be our stories and what would not be.
And Jim, I think, while some people do care about the human side of these political, or not political, public figures,
they don't care about
it's too early for political.
I know.
Never.
While they care about the human side of public figures, there's also, when it comes to sports, people who only care about stats.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for my beat, like the human interest story, you're not going to do a lot of, it's going to be overcoming something or some kind of
adversity that they had to get through for a 16-year-old. There's not going to be a lot of, hey, let's, you know,
yeah,
talk about this kid's life. I mean, they didn't live much of a life yet.
So any observer, newspapers have cut down on some staff and some people have retired early, those things. Like, how do you decide when there's five games that night or you, there's so many stories, like how do you pick and choose? Does Peter pick and choose? How does that work? Because I think you cover what's important, but whose decision is that, especially with you, Scott?
With games, that's pretty much my decision. I mean, I have an editor who will talk over every Tuesday our plans of what we want to do and whatnot. But that's just kind of knowing what's a big game. You know, just by following what game you should be at. And you're right. I mean, we used to cover three or four games as a staff and stringers on a Friday night. Well, that's just down to me. So you really have to just kind of pick what you think is the best game. And they trust that I'll do that, or that has an interesting storyline. I think this week I'm doing Green Bay Southwest. Now, they're not going to be good, but it's one of those things that, you know, but it'll be the first chance and probably the only chance to cover them this year, because as we get deeper in the season, you're going to cover the better team. So this is a good chance to feature them. And that's just kind of how we go.
Okay. We're going to go to a break, but so I have I think I told you a break. I have a daughter in journalism, right? Mm-hmm. And she went to J school in Madison and the grad school. And your industry is, one could say, is shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's going online. And, but you guys must both feel a future. You wouldn't be here, right? You're young guys. And I want to talk about, like, where you see that reporting going, and if you would encourage your son or your friend's son to get, or daughter to get into it, you know, we'll talk about that. You come back, because I want to talk more about the career side than really the X's and O's. All right, we're gonna be right back. This is Mino and the Mayor. 828.
What I feel.
Check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Mino and the Mayor, 8:34. Johnny had to step out. Got another little gig he's got to get to. But we are here and held our guests over because I would die here alone. So we have Ariel Perez from the Green Bay Press Gazette and Scott Vinci from the Press Gazette. And they both have their own really lanes, I guess. You know, Scott's is in sport. What do you call your writing?
Business reporting.
Business reporting. All right. And so there's always overlap, but you were saying you kind of look at the story and say, oh, this belongs here, this belongs there. You know, people who are a little bit older remember just the great, great journalists, right? You know, and there's movies about it and everything else. And I was asking you guys at break, and I want you to talk a little bit more about, you know, would you encourage, you know, some high school kid that enjoys writing or even, you know, somebody that's in college to pursue journalism?
I would if they have other plans for their writing in the future. Like, you know, become an actual like book writer or
like a side hustle.
No, just like it would help. I think journalism helps you get better at writing, how to get better at structuring stories. You know, it helps you become a better researcher.
Right.
And that all helps when you are going to become a writer someday. You know, if you're going to write a book, you got to do research. You got to know how to write, obviously, and structure and all that stuff. I think journalism is like a stepping stone for that and other things too. I mean, it opens the world, your eyes to a lot of knowledge, unless you stay on your own lane. In my case, I've done pretty much everything. I've covered justice, politics, economics, sports, and now this business reporting side that is just...
That's pretty cool.
And I think, you know, you get a lot of things and a lot of knowledge from different areas in the industries, you know. And I think that could help somebody if their plan is to be a writer, there's also, you know, you can go into advertising or you know, marketing, or
write a book
or become a writer. So I would encourage them, if they have something else in mind for the future, if it's just to stay in journalism, I don't know what you think.
Yes. So it's interesting because my instinct would be, yeah, don't go into it because it's not stable or whatnot. But I remember even when I got into it in 2000, people were kind of saying that, and I would never want to discourage somebody from not doing it, because what if I had listened? And I think that there are enough avenues that if you start out like this, public relations right, there's so many different ways that you have to be prepared, like any job, that, hey, you might not be able to retire in it. But I will say this, since 2007, I think I've thought I'd get laid off every year since 2007. So it's just, you don't know. You could last a lot longer than you think you're going to. And if you really like it, it is actually a very enjoyable job, because no day's the same. You know, there's so many different things, and you get to be. So.
Yeah, you guys got the variety. I'll give you that.
So I would still encourage your daughter or a high school student to do it, but to know that, hey, just like any job, you may not be able to last the entire time.
But like my dad used to say, there's always room for people at the top. You know, I just think if you're really good at your game,
if you stand out, you're going to last.
Yeah.
I think also what Scott was saying, there's a lot of people. For example, we had just an intern, Lisa Salcedo. She studied something else. Like, she was working on, I think it was language, or I don't really remember what, and she switched to journalism because she fell in love with the researching part, the investigative part of journalism, which I think is very important and is still very important for society. You know, even if you get the sense that your journalism is kind of dying, I think there's always going to be some parts of journalism that will stay alive because it's needed in society.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And that's one of the reasons I think Civic Media kind of leaned into the state of Wisconsin and bought these stations, was we were losing local flavor. I mean, even in TV, you look at that now, there's still say, oh, we're going to do the hometown story. And I think that's all right. But, you know, and there was a pretty big story on 60 Minutes, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 years ago now, but it was just talking about the lack of newspapers that were declining, which affected the political landscape locally, and that not enough people were running. And quite honestly, it led to some corruption in some cities because, I mean, you look at the city of industry. Remember that when, you know, the mayor's making $600,000 and all that stuff? The only way that got, and it was not really illegal, right? They were agendaing it. Nobody ever came to the meetings. But what I want to say is, it was the LA Times reporter that went to the meeting, like, what the hell's going on here? You know, and if it would have been for him, that would have been going on and on and on. So anyway, I think it's really needed, but it's not profitable, which, you know, that's capitalism.
And that's why almost a not-for-profit would be the best way to go if it would be possible. Because like you just said, you have to have watchdogs out there for any society to work. And so that can never go away. Or it's scary to think that it could go away. So you just have to figure out a way to make enough money. And you know what? Sometimes I think some of these big companies are still making decent money, just not as much as they used to. So, hey, maybe you're not making $2 billion, but, you know, $1 billion is still pretty good. Right. And so that sometimes annoying. Yeah, exactly.
I know. That gets annoying when it all becomes money.
Yeah.
And it's similar in radio, right? Similar in broadcasting. And I will just say, Jim, to your point, like, there's always room at the top. Sometimes there's a little bit too much room at the top. And everything's too top heavy and not enough worker people out there actually doing the work.
Yep.
Okay. So I think our industries are kind of like that, where you're double dipping, and some people are wearing 8, 9 hats at some of these, you know, media outlets.
Well, that's what I was kind of getting to a little bit. It's just no secret that you're thinner than you used to be. You know, you look at the Press Gazette building, and I know the city's looking at buying that. I look at buying that. And just all empty cubicles, empty offices. They still have that. And Johnny was talking about that photography room. That's still up there. I mean, it was last time I was there. But, you know, and to think that building was filled one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
But that has to do more with, you know, automatization of
the technology side of it.
Technology. Yeah. Because I also remember when I started this career, I went to a newspaper and they showed me how the newspaper was made with all the machines and everything, the computers they use. This was in, you know, early 2000s. And I was so impressed. And now I feel like, what do you need that for?
Right. It's yeah, it has. I mean, there's been advancement.
And
yeah,
there's definitely a lot of competition also with people that have become like these social media reporters, let's say, you know, which are just like repeating the same information that they found in other account, you know, and they steal the video or and then repost it.
But they don't have the credibility of a Green Bay Press Gazette.
But here's the thing. I don't know if a lot of people think about that anymore.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with you.
Oh, boy.
100%.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
You think you read a story and it's
Jim,
like, no, you're old school. You're old school.
Yeah. Yep. Jim, people will see anything and believe it. Doesn't matter who said it.
Yep. I have especially to give, if it's a video, you know, they're seeing with their own eyes, and then that builds trust with that person that is publishing the video, because you know they're seeing it with their own eyes. So this guy must be saying the truth, you know.
I think the Press Gazette actually in the story about the police department and all that. I think they posted some old pictures of the Press Gazette back in the day online and stuff. And I was looking at that. If you've got to check that out, because this goes way back. The old offices, the old reporters, the old machines. You know, the guys down there in the mailroom. Some really good stuff. So if you like history, you want to check out a great building and like the birth of that newspaper, you can go online and see it on the Press Gazette's website.
And they did kudos to our colleague. Jeff Bollier, he did an amazing job with that story.
Do you still have all the printing equipment, printing presses? Did they take that all? I think they were going to sell that at one time just for the scrap machinery.
The printing room was there. The machines were still there.
Okay.
But they weren't being used.
No, I know. Wow. That's amazing how much that has changed. I just remember when it's been 20 years in politics. There was a guy, you wouldn't know him, but Tom Murphy, he worked for the Chronicle, and it was, I'm telling you, I think maybe he wanted to, I mean, he's passed on, just a great guy, but he wore the little hat with a pencil in the ear. I mean, that guy was old
school.
When he walked in the first time to talk to me, and it was about business, as I started a business, he was doing an interview, and I was just like, wow, this is how it is, but really not like that anymore. There's no digital. I mean, that was 25 years ago.
I remember that, 15 years ago, I was still using my little notebook and a pencil to write the quotes. And asking me, can you say that again? Mm-hmm. So I can get the actual quote. Now I just pull out my phone and the recorder and boop. So and it's super easy.
Do you ask this? So talk about, you know, what's like even today, right? I was working on my syllabus and going through the class prep, my notes today. And it's the first chapter is on ethics. NWTC wants two classes on ethics, which is a lot, but you know, it's what's legal and what's right. I want to ask is sometimes you guys trick, not you, the media has tricked people. And I'll tell you, there was a guy who worked for you and he talked to me and his microphone was under his like pad and I didn't like that. And I didn't think it was, but do you now say on the record, off the record, is that still done or can you?
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing like, and this is maybe what you were not going to like. In the DR, there's a lot of corruption. I worked for the investigative reporter, very famous there. Nuria Piera is her name. And she had like a four or five reporters. They go and get the story and come back, write the script. This is for TV. And she reads the story, presents it. You know, so it's all her, but you're like their little aunt that go and does the job, right? And many of these stories that I did for her were about a person in the government using the office to, you know, favor a cousin or, you know, wife.
That never happens in politics, Jim. Come on.
Kansas City.
So many, many times, you know, I had to call and pretend that I was somebody else and record, just to confirm things.
Right.
Like, is this the office of this guy? Yeah. Oh, and then I would ask for the cousin who was working there. Oh, and his wife is there too. So, you know, get confirmation of everything they were saying. Yeah. And then I could look at the, you know, payroll and see all the names. And then we'd do an investigative report.
Wow. Yeah.
And but if I call and say, hey, I am a reporter for Nuria Piera, can you tell me if this person and this person
no
worship?
Comment.
They would hang up on me.
Wow.
Right. Yeah.
Is it? Yeah, with social media, has that helped you a little bit in terms of your reporting? Do they get the scoop before, or is that hurting you? Yeah, I'll go back to that credibility thing. And you're right, Scott. I probably am old school, but I just think there's so much garbage. And I like you guys. Mm-hmm. Of course, I get the Journal. I get the New York Times. And I don't like commercials, so I like reading the paper. So I have to listen to 9, 10, 11, 12 minutes of commercials in a half hour. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot. Whereas, I don't know if you have 30% of your advertising, of your papers. I wouldn't know because I would never look at the ads, you know? But tell me about social media. Is that going to help? Is that helping?
I think it does get your work out and whatnot. I don't use it, unfortunately, so I can't speak
too
much.
And I'm old school.
I'm old school too. I would love to just use a paper to get my box scores like I did when I was in high school. I would love to go back to those days, but no, I think people use it to build their brands, so to speak, and get, you know, their name out there and their work out there, and that's what I think you have to do in 2024. But I'm not a big fan of social media the way it's used now. I think it's pretty toxic. If I'm just making this up off my head, but if you did a study, I'm sure people who aren't on social media at all are happier in general.
The study's been done.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
that okay. People they've done studies on people. How you feeling today? This and that. They're on social media for 2 hours. They ask them again. They feel worse.
Yeah.
Actually, they feel worse. Yeah. And you want your kid doing that? That's crazy. So anyway, when we get back, I want to talk to you guys. I got another thing I want to go over on the engagement in the community. You know, like, I don't know if you guys host things. I want to just talk about how important it is for you in the media to be out in the community besides your great writing. Mm-hmm. We're going to be right back. This is Mind on the Mayor, 848 WGBW, WISS. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Mind on the Mayor, Jim Schmidt. Johnny had to step out for something. We're here with, like, two super interesting people that it's the Green Bay Press Gazette, which is a staple here. They, you know, you can go back to, what, 1919 or something when they founded the Packers. Didn't that kind of happen with
Packers aren't here without the Press Gazette?
Right.
Yeah.
That's, like, unbelievable. And you guys have, you know, any business that's been around for, you know, that length of time is doing something right? And obviously the Press Gazette is. But it's changed a lot. We talked a little bit about social media and those of people who use it and those of us who don't. And we talked a little bit about the credibility. And I just think that's, I don't know what you would say your biggest strength is, but I would think it's the credibility of the paper. I think I pick up the paper and I read it. I'm not always crazy about the way you cover stories, but, you know, you got away with the opinion. You did away with the opinion page, you know, and when I was mayor, I didn't like it when people would write and then they didn't have to sign it. And then you changed it and said, look, yeah. And that filtered out some of the stuff that was a little hurtful.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you've survived. And many, many businesses don't make it that long. I mean, you know, over 100 years to be around and still be the strength you have. But tell me about, I want to talk a little bit less about the writing and a little bit more about the community. Are you out at events? Do you guys host events? How do they allow you or do they want you to lean into the community? Sometimes, you know, you'll hire somebody, say, look, join the United Way, join this board, join that board. Does the Press Gazette do that? Because,
I engage with the community because I'm always meeting new people and I try to stay connected to, you know, organizations, let's say, part of the LPA, the Latino Professional Association. And that's actually been very helpful for me because I joined that organization before starting to work on the Press Gazette, and I met so many people there from different areas. And I think that being engaged with the community always helps you as a journalist to, you know what's happening, get, you know, the real feel of how, in my case, how the businesses are doing and all that.
I don't mean to interrupt. I'm just looking out the window seeing him give a parking ticket. Is that your car?
That is not my car. Yep.
Is it yours, Ariel?
No.
Okay, good. All right. All right.
Mine is behind that one. But I think I'm good. I think right, I'm until anyway. 9.
But all right, so you, that helped. That was,
I do it personally. I mean,
The paper doesn't make
the
you do that.
The paper, they've tried. I think last year I was telling you that we had a booth at Juneteenth celebration in at the Jones Park to kind of Joannie's. Yeah, sorry. And I don't, you know, I don't know how many other activities they would do.
Okay, and maybe Scott, I just remember, and again, it's been a while, but. A lot of sports banquets, mm-hmm. and I don't know. I want to be nice because I'm sure we have a little listeners who follow that, but those were kind of more. Those got a little long,
yeah.
And I'll tell you why. It's because they went off script. You guys are those sports guys. Well, you know this a lot better than I do, but they're a little emotional. I mean, they come across as you know, pounding and you know the throwing their pads down and getting yelling on the field, but. They get to these and they go off script. You know, you got 3 minutes to accept the award and they start looking out there and, oh, Johnny, remember, you know, and it goes on. Like, I remember I went with Nick Barnett to one of these things with, he was the PR guy for the Packers. He died.
I should know cause he worked at our paper too. And I'm
okay. Well, anyway, and that was just, but do you do that? Do you go to these banquets or as a reporter?
We don't, but our paper does have a sports banquet at, Lambeau every year, which I guess would be our ultimate community outreach where, you know, hundreds of student athletes are there and their parents and whatnot and a Packer player talks. Cool. And I don't think people go too off script there. So that's probably their biggest,
I'm just saying that those are great banquets. It's just that they're more emotional than X's and O's. That's what I meant.
What's really interesting is if you ask the kids and the parents there, I don't even know if people would know who's putting that banquet on. Like, oh yeah, the Press Gazette's actually part. I don't even think they would know.
Yeah.
I don't think people know anymore.
So you guys are both young guys.
I am not young. But thank you.
Okay, but you look young. How's
okay,
that?
Thank you.
I bet you've heard that.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
All right. Tell me about your plans. I mean, are you gonna stick around?
Yeah, I'm gonna stick around. And I don't know what I'm gonna do. I might go into teaching in the future. It's something that I, you know, at some point I would like to pass on knowledge and experiences. Right now I don't know if I'm going to be coaching soccer for a long time. I love it, but it's like journalism. It doesn't pay much.
A lot of good things don't. Yeah. So.
But I'll stick around. I'll be here, and I'm planning on having a bigger family, too. So. Good.
How about you, Scott? What are you planning?
This is going to be really disappointing to you because it's very simple. But I'm going to do this as long as I can in terms of, okay, when do they lay me off? So I'm going to hang on as long as possible. And when that happens and I get laid off, I'm telling you, I'm going to do DoorDash. It's not a joke. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to deliver food. So I know
what DoorDash.
Yeah. That's the plan.
And to deliver food after delivering the news.
Yeah.
There you go. I like it.
In fact, that should be my side hustle.
There you go. There you start going.
Yeah.
She'll charge you 10%
on
that.
Right. There you go. An ambitious young man. Yeah. You know what? I don't know you that well. I've always read your stuff and seen you at so many events. There's something cool about how content you are. And I think a lot of us look for that. I mean, I've been to enough shrinks and it's just like, you got to find Jim, you got to find something that where you're content and you are.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you're blessed to be that chill.
Yeah. But like I said before, we can't have everybody be like me for this world to prosper. You do have to have go-getters be wanting more and doing that. But that's just not me.
You should do a story on him. You should do a story on you. So, hey, are we missing anything in Green Bay in terms of sports? I mean, besides cricket? I don't. I really miss that one.
We are missing that cricket. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything we should be looking at? I mean, you look at
Ultimate Frisbee.
Maybe? Yeah.
No. No.
People are talking about wiffle ball right now. That's a big thing, right?
I would love to cover wiffle ball.
I've been looking at that for a couple of years, actually. When the first league was created and everything. I enjoyed it so much.
Organized wiffle ball. That would be a fun story, though, to do. Yeah. Because didn't play wiffle ball?
Well, let's do a little research on the franchise, and we can all get in on
Jim
this.
Jim wants to make money now.
You know, I'm doing it for the community.
Right.
He's selling it.
How much is too much? But, hey, I'm doing it for the community. Look, you guys, thank you for coming in. The Green Bay Press Gazette, you know, love these guys. Ariel Perel and Scott Vinci. This is great. And we want to get you guys back here. I think we're partners in bringing good local things to the community, and I appreciate what you guys do. All right. That's it. Mine on the Mayor, we're out. We will see you tomorrow. As Johnny would say, see ya. Does that sound like him?
That was good.